self in this category. I think the reason that I'm proud of 7 is I think that when we're operating at our best, it's because we are sort of taking the confluence of a variety of different pressures, right? Pressures that are coming from the actual product side of people who want to sort of deliver a compelling user experience that gives value to people, pressure from the financial or organizational side to achieve certain goals, right, that the product's supposed to hit. Mm-hmm. And then I think also this is sort of like a sort of third category, which I don't know, just I think of it as like sort of like, you guys can tell me if you think I'm crazy about this, but like just sort of like loyalty to the product or like the coherence of the product. Right? Like you have a sense. I think, at least for me, I feel like any product that I work on, I feel like I have a sense of its, soul. I don't want to call it soul, shape, personality, what it is or what it isn't. It's that thing that when, like, I don't know, last year Twitter and their mobile app did this thing where they just, like, you know, put the sort of the retweet and the star icons, like, they just, like, made them, like, crazy, stupid, repetitive, right? They put them in every single tweet. And so you're scrolling through the string, it's this sort of visually unappealing deal. And you're like, well, you look at that, and if you have any experience with the product, you're like, I know exactly why they did that. Like, I can imagine the set of meetings and the set of drivers and the constraints and the pressures that led them to think, and even the, like, you know, somewhat rigged user research that they did to kind of help them draw this conclusion that that was the thing that they needed to do, right? And I bet it is actually having the effect that they wanted to have. But I bet that, you know, if you are, like, constantly putting pie in front of somebody, they'll probably start eating pie.
Accidentally chop on the pie.
But also, it didn't actually feel like it, you could also, like, you could sense that it was, like, it was a little incoherent in the context. Again, I think this is somewhat subtle, and you have to actually be, like, have experience with product, but you could be using the product and be like, okay, this is, like, this is definitely affecting the experience overall. So whatever soul is probably as good a word as any for it. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a little bit different from, like, design or loyalty to the user experience. It's more about, to me, you know, I ran a company that was filled with designers, and designers are not, for the most part, some of them are, and they're fantastic, but in my experience, designers are not, for the most part, particularly systemic thinkers. You know what I mean? Like, they have a loyalty or a fealty to the user experience and a sense of product, a sense of design, all of which is incredibly important. But the system kind of thinking that I think product people are really good at is the ability to fuse all these different inputs. And so, like, when I talk about this tab, even though it's this sort of tiny minor thing, I've always been really proud of it because it did.
And so the impact of it was exactly what you wanted. It brought a lot more attention, drove people to the Get Satisfaction product from different sites.
It was the last. So that was probably, of all the things that we did, that was the tab was the biggest bump that we had. And also, I think, the most intentional.
Right.
I don't know if those two go hand in hand, but I think that they do.
Yeah.
It was the one time that we actually were trying to solve a traffic problem. A money problem, and a product problem all in the same place.
Yeah.
And I also think it's the reason that it became so crazy freaking ubiquitous, right?
Well, it solved this very specific problem in a subtle way. You know, with that tab everywhere on the site, I mean, it just becomes, it's a quick entry, and it's not buried in the menu in the top of a site or in the navigation. You know, it's there on the side, it's like the quick out. And
I always thought that was the genius part of it, that it didn't alter the flow. It was an anomaly, but it was not.
And as a tab sitting over the site, as opposed to, you know, you don't have to design it in.
Yeah, omnipresent. I remember the arguments about, like, do we let you scroll off the page, or do we?
Right.
Keep it there. Yeah.
Right.
Because Ted Grubb, who is the lead engineer / designer for this product, who went on to do food spotting, and now they had a technology for OpenTable. I think he did all of it. He did a really good job, and I fought him really hard on the whole, like, I would like it to always be there on the page versus...
Did it ever become an option? I know Zendesk makes it an option, like it'll slide off and people dismiss it.
Yeah, I think Zendesk ended up doing that. You know, you started seeing, like, all the chat programs that popped up, they all adopted that kind of structure after we did it, so...
Yeah, and I mean, you could almost say that that tab was the beginning of, you know, what my blog log had, the little bar at the top, you know, the things you see at the bottom of the page that would pop up, or Meebo did that
Meebo
chat, and, you know, they started basically putting stuff around the edges of the site.
I think so. I mean, I think it was the beginning of starting. It was also at the very beginning of us starting to think about, you know, it took a long time to get out of the idea of, like, you know, the web as, like, page-based, page state-based tool, and into something that was more application-oriented like we have today.
Right.
I think that was part of it.